Well, we had fun last week as God redirected our efforts to go from, starting in Ephesians chapter 6, and then we thought we were going to do the holy armor. I thought we were going to do the holy armor, and God redirected us and took us back a step to Ephesians chapter 4, where we talked about spiritual gifts. And that was cool. It was, you know, I think about even just over the last week, or the last 2 weeks, preparing for that and then giving that message last week, I began to listen as I was listening to other people's conversations or interacting with people. I was like, huh, I think maybe they have that spiritual gift. I think maybe they have that spiritual gift. Anybody do that after last week? Anybody think about that? Thank you. Couple? All right. Yeah. What happens here on a Sunday morning is not meant to continue to stay right here on Sunday morning. Amen? It's meant to go outside of these walls. We're meant to use those things that God does in our hearts, those things that he shows us, those things that he sets us free from, to be a testimony, to be a part of what we're doing out in the world as we have the opportunity to minister to our neighbors and to our community, to our family, and to anybody else that we get to come in contact with. And so I'm so thankful that we get to be a part of that. And as I look back over this past year, I'm seeing God doing great things. When I think about the beginning of the year, we started talking about spiritual gifts. At the beginning of the year, that's what I felt like God was leading us to talk about with spiritual gifts. Getting disciplined in our pursuit of our Heavenly Father and getting closer to him, focusing in on him, honing in on him so that we can grow in our relationship with him, so we can grow to be more like Jesus. Amen? And then after that, we kind of got into the beginning of the summer, the end of the spring, and it started to get hot and it started to get dry outside. And it wasn't the only place that it was getting dry. We had this dryness in our hearts. Is going into the summer, we just felt like there was just this sense of dryness in our hearts. And so God led us to talk about the book of Ephesians. And the book of Ephesians is meant to refresh us. It's meant to give us an understanding of our identity, who it is that we are in Christ, but also who Christ himself is and what he has done for us, that we receive every spiritual blessing in Christ, that he himself is our peace, that we can walk with him, and that we can have relationship with him. And then we got into the second half of the book of Ephesians, which was now about how now shall we live. And if you remember me saying, I felt like I got more out of the second half so far. In just the first couple of weeks, I got more refreshed out of that about how now shall I live than what I did in the first part of the book of Ephesians. And so we're talking about that, and we're going through, we're seeing God do some good works, all of it building toward getting equipped for us to do good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. Yeah. And so getting equipped, like we talked about last week, using the spiritual gifts that we've been given and using them to build others up so the church can be what God intends it to be is important. But there's another kind of equipping that each follower of Christ needs to do in order to live the Christian life. And that kind of equipping means we need to put something on. We need to put something on, and that is the armor of God. That's where we're going today. If you got your Bibles, you can turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And 2 weeks ago we talked about, well, 3 weeks ago we talked about instructions for Christian households. And we talked about husbands and wives and marriages, and it's supposed to represent Christ in the church. And then we talked about, 2 weeks ago we talked about children obeying their parents in the Lord, for this is right, honoring their mom and dad. I had the opportunity to honor my parents that day. That was really cool. And then fathers and mothers to not exasperate their children, but to train them up in the instruction of the Lord. And then we talked about slaves and masters. Slaves would be like those that are under authority, or maybe an employee today, to those that are in a position of authority or an employer today. And they're supposed to treat one another with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, because God looks on every single person, no matter what position of authority that they are in, and he sees them all the same. And so that's how we need to see each other as well. And we get then to Ephesians 6 and verse 10. If you're there, say, I'm there. You ready? Say, let's go. All right. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, someone say, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you that it is living and it is active and that you want to do a work in our hearts today. And so, God, as we continue to get equipped, help us to hear what it is that you want to say to us today. Help us to be prepared, God, to go out and to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The title of the message, we're still in, because I just kind of prayed a little bit, we're still in getting equipped. We started a mini-series last week in the Ephesians series. Last week we started talking about getting equipped. That was part one. We talked about spiritual gifts. Part two today is holy armor. As Paul nears the end of his letter here, though, in Ephesians chapter 6, and specifically the end of telling the believers in Ephesus, in the church of Ephesus, how to no longer live as the Gentiles do, or for us today, to no longer live as the Americans do today, he tells us, finally, be strong, or it translates also, grow strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. This is not some just passing, hey, you know, maybe a good idea if you consider doing this. No, this is an imperative. Hey, you need to do this. We got to do this. We got to grow strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That word in the Greek for growing strong is a summoning of vigor or putting forth the energy to do so. We got to do this. We can't just expect it to happen. We got to grow strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, trusting that he gives us power for living. Sounds like a good idea, right? But you ask, how? Well, fortunately, he doesn't leave us with just making that statement without telling us how. And he says in verse 11, he says, put on the full or the complete armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. That full armor, all of it, both offensive armor and defensive armor and weapons, okay? You're putting all of it on, not just a part of it, but all of it on. Why armor? Why armor? If you think about where Paul is at as he's writing this letter. He's sitting in prison. He's maybe even chained to some soldiers. Every day what he sees for years that he's sitting there in prison, he sees these soldiers clad in their battle armor coming in and going out. And as he sees that every single day, God begins to give him a spiritual picture of that which it is that he's seeing in a physical sense on these soldiers. Just like soldiers, they got to wear their armor to protect themselves so that they're ready to wage war whenever the case may be. So getting equipped with the holy armor of God is so that we can take our stand against the plans that the enemy has for us. Because I want you to know, while God has good plans for you, the enemy also has plans for you. We need to be aware of that. We have a real enemy. While some deny it and others flirt with evil, Satan is real. He is real. And unlike God, he does not have our best interest in mind, although he tries to masquerade himself as an angel of light and make you think that he does until you step out of the will of the Lord. And then he steps away and says, oh, look what you did. So Paul says we got to put on the armor. Like salvation comes as a result of a choice that we make when we choose to follow Jesus and we turn away from the sin in our lives and turn to him. So putting on the armor is a choice as well. Here's a point. If you don't choose to use the armor, you choose to lose the ground on which you stand. If you don't choose to use the armor, you choose to lose that ground that the kingdom of God has advanced in your own life. Now, this isn't some just special like kids' armor or something like that, or something you'd see in a Christmas play or a Easter pageant or whatever like that. No, this is holy armor. This is set apart armor. This is the only armor that keeps us standing against the onslaught of our enemy. And who is our enemy? Who is our enemy? Verse 12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. the world, and even followers of Christ, though, can get hung up on believing that that's where our struggle exists. I just can't get along with that person. I do better without without having them around. I wish I didn't have to work with that person. I wish I didn't have to live next to that person. I wish I didn't have to run into that person outside of our church. I wish that person didn't go to our church, right? We can think those kind of things. I just have an easier time following Jesus if they weren't even here. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against flesh and blood. Really, it's against the forces that we can see beyond what we can see with our physical eyes. Our struggle is beyond what we can see with our physical eyes. You think about, and sometimes even as a believer in the Lord, sometimes we can speak something that's of the enemy as well to one another, okay? And I say that because when you look at Jesus talking to Peter, Peter declares that Jesus is the Christ. And a few verses later, Jesus is telling his disciples that he's going to have to go and be killed and crucified for them and then raise again. And Peter pulls Jesus aside and says, "Never, Lord, this will never happen to you." And what does Jesus say to Peter, a believer? "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block for me." Was he speaking to Peter? He was speaking to the voice of the enemy coming out of Peter. So even sometimes as believers, we can speak what the enemy wants us to speak. So, forces of evil. Against the forces beyond what we can see with our physical eyes. Those four things that Paul mentions here. Number one, it's rulers. What are rulers? In the Greek, that's a prince of spiritual existence. That's not a prince that we see, okay? It's a prince of spiritual existence. He has authority over his principality, okay? Authorities in the Greek, that just means powers. If someone has authority, they have power of some sort or another, okay? So authorities is powers. The third one, powers of this dark world. In the Greek, that means worldly princes whose power is supreme in the world of the unbelieving or the ungodly. So they have power, but only in the realm of the unbeliever and the ungodly. Meaning that if you're a born-again believer, they don't have authority over you anymore. Although they can still come after you, they don't have authority over you anymore. Okay? And the fourth one, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms or the heavenly places. That in the Greek actually means evil spirits causing mischief. Evil spirits causing mischief in the upper regions of the air. That's what that phrase means in the Greek. So that'd be like Halloween night. Evil spirits running around causing mischief. That's why they say trick or treat, right? That's where that came from. Evil spirits causing mischief, except that they're real. And they are really impacting the kingdoms of the air, okay? They're in the kingdoms of the air, in the upper regions of the air. They're not necessarily in heaven, but man, they have the ability to attack the heaven's armies, okay? These are the ones that we wage war against in this world. And that sometimes that manifests in each other. But do you see that there's no armor in this world? Looking at our enemy, do you see that there's any armor in this world that would actually stand against that kind of stuff, that kind of attack? Is there anything in this world that would do so? No. And so the armor that God provides us is not physical, but spiritual armor that includes both offensive and defensive weapons. Can you put up that picture, that first picture? Oops, not that one. We're not to that one yet. That one, yes. Now that looks like something right out of a fantasy book or a sci-fi novel or something like that, right? But I can guarantee you that the weapons of our warfare, the weapons that God gives us, the holy armor, is going to look a whole lot different than anything you've ever seen before, right? If we could actually see them with our physical eyes, right? Not going to be something you can buy in the stores, and Amazon ain't got it either, okay? But something that even many believers tend to not think about because we can't see it is that there is a spiritual realm. There's a daily battle going on for each of your souls and mine, okay? Daniel, in the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, he begins to pray. And when he begins to pray, we find out later that God immediately sends the angel Gabriel to send him a message, okay? But the angel Gabriel is caught up in a battle with the prince of Persia for 3 weeks. And so this angel takes 3 weeks to get from when God sends him, from the moment that Daniel begins praying, to get to Daniel until the angel Michael comes along and takes his place in this battle so that Gabriel can go on and send them and give the message to Daniel. There's a spiritual battle going on right now for your life and for mine. And if you're a born-again believer, that battle is continuing relentlessly, okay? The enemy is always looking for a way to get through that armor. And though we've been given the tools, we've been given the tools to combat the enemy and all of his minions, evil minions, we still got to choose to use them. There's an action that has to be taken. Therefore, Paul says in verse 13, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Meaning after you've done everything to prepare yourself to stand, that you're able to stand. You're able to continue to stand. Now the day of evil. Day of evil, that we've talked about that before in Ephesians 5 and verse 16. It means afflictive. Days of affliction. Afflictive days. And it doesn't mean just one particular day. There's not just one day of evil that we got to prepare ourselves for, and if we make it past that, phew, we're good. Okay? No, this is a continual. When the day of evil comes in your life, and when it comes again, and when it comes again, then you're going to be able to stand, and you're going to be able to stand, and you're going to be able to stand. Amen? Stand on the ground that God has advanced his kingdom on. So Paul says each believer needs to put on the armor of God, which is going to look different than what a Gentile or an American does. Okay? As believers, we're going to look different. We're going to act different. We're going to handle things differently, okay? And we need to. So now you can put up that other picture. This is used to be a game that I played back in the 80s on Nintendo, the original Nintendo, called Mega Man. And you can get equipped. And so like as you beat levels, and he got more and more equipped with different things. And so get equipped with, that's what we're going to talk about next. What are we getting equipped with? Verse 14. It says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. What is the belt of truth? The belt of truth is the teachings, like what Paul is giving through the book of Ephesians to the church in Ephesus. The teachings that he gave when he started that church, when he planted it. Okay, when he planted all the churches that he planted, or when he came and visited them. And the teachings that continue on through the scriptures, through the word of God. What we do as believers is we got to wrap ourselves with the teachings of truth, that we may live and operate in the truth always around us. We got to remember it's always around us, the belt of truth. We can have the belt of truth. We can have it in our hand, okay? But unless it's buckled around our waist, unless we're living out those teachings, we don't have the truth to stand on in the days of evil or the days of affliction. Second one, breastplate of righteousness in place. So the belt of truth has to be buckled. The breastplate of righteousness needs to be in place. There's an action. There's an action for each one of these. Righteousness, what's that? A breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is something that, like the holy armor, we can't get anywhere else but through God himself. Okay? Our righteousness is as filthy rags. Really filthy, okay? Even if we think that what we do is righteous, it's still shown before the one who is righteousness to be unrighteous, okay? Our righteousness, we can't get anywhere else but by Jesus Christ himself. He is the only one that gives us the righteousness that we need to be before the Lord and be considered righteous in his sight. Okay? Righteousness is imputed to us. That's the word that they say. It's imputed to us. That means that something is, we're receiving something of value from a higher authority. Okay? So righteousness is imputed to us. It's put upon us. It's not something that we generate in and of ourselves. It comes upon us by Jesus Christ. We are imputed with righteousness, and we are also infused with righteousness because the Holy Spirit lives in us as believers. He infuses righteousness into us, that we have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We can have the breastplate, but if it's not in place, if it's not sitting right on us, in other words, we try to earn our own righteousness. We begin in the spirit even as a believer, but then are trying to attain our goal by our own effort. That's foolishness, the Bible says. It doesn't keep us standing firm in the afflictive days when the enemy tries to remind us of our own unrighteousness. We need God's righteousness. The third one, verse 15, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Again, action. You got to fit your feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. I understand that the Roman soldiers had special battle sandals that they would wear that had nails that came out of the bottom of them so that they could stand their ground. Can you imagine, like, if you got a shield up and someone's pushing against it, like even like at a football game, you know, they got cleats, right? Soccer players have cleats like that too. They got to stand their ground. But these are like nails that went into the ground so that they could stand their ground against the enemy. And those nails represent the peace of God that we receive through Christ Jesus. We read about this earlier in Ephesians chapter 2, where he talked about how we have been reconciled, Jew to Gentile, Gentile to Jew. And in that one body, that is Christ's body, we've been reconciled to God. We have peace with God. We can stand before Almighty God, the perfect sinless one, because of the peace that Jesus Christ won for us on the cross. Can someone say amen to that? That's so good. I'm glad to see you're still awake. Okay, good. We can have the shoes of peace, but if they aren't on our feet, meaning if you're not standing in the peace of God, you're not going to be ready to stand when you're surrounded by evil. The fourth one today, he says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, that shield of faith is not like this little circle, you know, like a little handheld thing where you got the sword and you got the shield and you're battling like that. No, this is like, it's an oblong shield that's like round or oval or rectangular like that. It covers most of a soldier's body. Okay, the shield was, it represents, in this spiritual sense, it represents our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. It represents, we believe God the Father created me with a purpose. I believe that. That's part of my shield of faith. I believe that though I'm a sinner, that Jesus Christ died for me. I have been redeemed. That's part of the shield of faith that we use to defend against the enemy. Okay, I believe that the Holy Spirit now lives in my heart. He's sanctifying me. He's helping me to find out, oh, that's not of you. I'm going to put that aside so that I can then be renewed and be transformed so that then I can receive his new self, which is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That's the sanctifier, the shield of faith. As we believe in the Trinity, in the triune God, all three parts, this is our shield. This is what we stand behind. And it's because of this, that we can then take that and extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So you think about like an arrow that's tipped with flame and they shoot it and it's still got the flame on it and it hits you. If it hits you, what happens? It begins to burn. In this case, it burns inside of you, okay? Those worldly passions that we have, those things that we struggle with, you know, when we're like, oh man, I'm so angry at that person, or I'm so upset, or I'm bitter, or man, I just really want whatever that thing is that I'm lusting after, or that person that I'm lusting after, whatever that thing is, those arrows come in if we don't hold up the shield of faith, okay? Those arrows come in. And so what we do is we hold up that shield, and then what that happens is those arrows that are flaming hit that shield and they're extinguished. Guess what? You can't extinguish the flame at the end of that arrow with some water. It's got to go in the shield. The shield is what extinguishes it. Okay? Sometimes those arrows get through my life even today. And I don't even realize it, and all of a sudden an arrow has hit me and it begins to burn inside of me as I get upset about something or I get thinking about worldly passions and things like that. And what I have to do is I just grab a hold of that. I do this physically. I say, God, I thank you that I can take this arrow out and I can stick it in your shield. Sometimes I got to do that, okay? We can do that as well. Even if those arrows get through, we can still, in Jesus' name, take out those arrows and stick them in that shield where they belong, because that's the only place that they can get extinguished. You can have access to the shield of faith, but if you don't take it up, meaning if you allow those temptations, that's what those fiery arrows are, those temptations to burn in you, those flaming arrows are going to pierce your life rather than being stopped at the shield, and the end result will be worse than the first. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation. Again, action, take the helmet of salvation. Believers, with a knowledge that we are saved, and as recipients of the grace of God in thankfulness and gratitude to him, God gives us that helmet of salvation to have the right perspective. As we look at our own lives, yeah, man, I'm a sinner, I'm a mess up, I've done a lot of bad things in my life, but I thank you, God, that I am saved, that you still chose to value my life, that you still chose to see there's potential in my life, and you chose to save me. It gives me the right perspective on my life through the helmet of salvation, but it also gives me the right perspective on everybody else out there. Everybody else that we think, man, they are just a lost cause, or man, they are just, I'd rather not deal with them, right? I'd rather not even be around them. I don't like how they talk. I don't like how they walk. I don't like what they say. I don't appreciate them in my life, that kind of thing. Those people, when we have the helmet of salvation on, God gives us the right perspective to see them as people that Jesus created. Through him everything was made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. That's what John 1 says. So they were made in his image. And God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. It's God's heart that none should perish, but everyone should come to repentance. With that helmet of salvation on our head, we see people the way that God sees them. You can have the helmet of salvation sitting on your shelf, but if you don't take it and put it on, if you don't choose to see that you are truly saved when you've made that decision and you're living for the Lord, if you choose to doubt, if you choose to believe a lie of the enemy, being influenced then by the enemy and ultimately led astray from Jesus if it continues on, then we don't have the perspective that God wants to give us of our own salvation or of anybody else for that matter. Sixth one, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It tells us right there what the sword of the Spirit is. It's the word of God. It's this special revelation. It's right here that we get to have free access to in our country. All of it. From Genesis to Revelation, we have it all. Okay, the special revelation that we know that the Lord uses to instruct us, to train us, to correct us, and yes, even times to rebuke us in righteousness. So that the man or woman of God may be what? Equipped. Equipped. That sword can be sitting on your mantle or yourself. Sometimes you see them sitting up above a fireplace and they've got like a glass box around them. Right? So that sword can be sitting there and it's pretty. But if we never take it, if we never take it off the shelf, if we never open it up, if we never read it, we aren't going to know the words that put the enemy in his place. This piece of the armor is both offensive and defensive. We see it in a defensive mode when Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days and the devil comes and tempts him. Okay, and Jesus wields that sword and says, no, that's not what the word of God says. Or the word of God says this. It says, do not test the Lord your God. Right? He uses it as a defensive thing. I heard a pastor once say that he felt like the enemy would wake him up off and on throughout the night. And he would start to speak to him. This enemy would speak to him and say, it ain't going to work. You're never going to be able to do it. I'm going to kill you. And this pastor said he would get up and he'd say, oh, you want some more of this, do you? And he grabbed that sword. He began to combat every single one of those words with the word of God says. It's so important that we have this. And we need the armor day and night. We need it all the time. And in an offensive way, when Paul was reasoning with the Jews and the Gentiles, and he was saying, look, this is your long-awaited Messiah. This is who I'm talking about. Every single person that chose to believe what Paul said, God advanced the kingdom through. It was an offensive weapon. And it's the same as we do today. Every time that we share the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody else, every time we share a testimony of what God has done in our lives, we're advancing the kingdom. Amen? Verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Now, if you can put up that third picture, Kelly. Now, I've seen this picture of the holy armor. It typically just has six on it. Six different things, like what we talked about already today. And in fact, that's actually a plaque that you can get on Amazon if you really want that. That you can actually own. Okay, it's on Amazon. But there's a seventh part of the holy armor. There's a seventh part, and that part is prayer. It may not have an attribute of armor, but think about it. It's both a defensive and an offensive weapon that we have. Okay, we're going to talk probably more about that next week as we continue on our Get Equipped mini-series. But it is. It is something that we have to take action and do as well. We can't build a relationship with the Lord. We can't grow strong in the Lord if we don't ever pray. And as the psalmist said, you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He's our defense. He's our defense. But seven parts. So the main point today is getting equipped means action. It means action. There's something that we have to do to get equipped. You can't get equipped also on the day of battle, the day of evil, okay? When the day of evil comes or whatever that day is, and then the next day and then the next day, whenever those days come. You can't get equipped on that day. You got to get equipped beforehand. You got to get equipped beforehand. We have manifestations of the Spirit available to us through the spiritual gifts. We see those, but we must take action to use them, like the kid on the swing, the potential, and letting it go to have the kinetic energy where it's actually manifesting itself. We can have access to the armor of God, church, but we got to pick it up and we got to use it. We got to use it. The standing firm doesn't come first. We got to first put on the armor. And then, after having done everything to stand firm. And God promises through his divine power, Peter says this, to give us everything that we need for life and godliness. He gives us his divine power, the living and the working life of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit in each follower of Jesus. He gives us his divine power to give us everything that we need for life and godliness. And that's good, because without the armor, we're vulnerable. Vulnerable to the schemes of the enemy and to our own shortcomings, our own weaknesses. And when we are vulnerable, church, we stand to lose the ground that God has advanced his kingdom through in our lives. If we don't stand firm. Think of a leader in the church that has had like a moral failure or something like that. There's been a few of those out there, unfortunately. A leader in the church who has walked with the Lord for years. They were on fire for the Lord. There were souls that were getting saved. The kingdom of God was advancing, but then suddenly something happens. It seems sudden to us, not to them. Suddenly, they have a failure, like a moral failure. Their witness, their reputation is tarnished, and they no longer reflect the light of the sun, S-O-N, sun, that they used to reflect. They're a crescent moon rather than a full moon. And others are affected as well, as the way that they saw before becomes muddied. Well, this leader was living this way, and I've been living this way, but look at how he ended up. I don't want to end up like that. How should I be walking? How should I be going? Depending on how much the people looked up to this leader, they may lose the light that they were following entirely. That's why we can't ever put our hope in a person. We got to put it in the person, Jesus Christ. That's where our hope belongs. Every single one of us, and myself included, is going to disappoint you. Our hope has to be in him. We don't have to be a world-renowned Christian leader or a pastor of a megachurch for a slip-up to cause others to be affected. And I don't say this to scare anybody to think, okay, well, I got to live perfectly. I got to make sure guess what? You're still going to fail. As a believer, you're still going to mess up, but that's okay, because that's what grace is for. The main thing is that we don't stay down there. We get up and we keep on moving. But I share this today to sober us for those times that Paul says this: if you think that you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. Be careful that you do not fall. So we got to suit up. We got to get equipped beforehand so that when those days of affliction come, we will be able to stand and not sink and not be washed over, not just be defeated again and again and again. That's what the armor is for. So as we close today, before we have access to the armor of God, we got to have the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We got to know who the Holy Spirit is. We got to receive him as our Lord and Savior and allow him to come into our lives. This is salvation. We got to be saved. Jesus died for us on that cross because he saw us in our lowly state and said, I can't leave them like that. I need to provide a way. Their sins cause them to be like scarlet. Their sins separate them from our Heavenly Father. But I love them. I care about them. I want them to be where I am with the Father. And so Jesus came and he went on that cross and he died for every one of us. Poured out his blood so that we could have forgiveness of sins, so that we can have reconciliation and peace with God. That's good news, church. That's good news. Every eye closed today. If there's anyone in here that says, that's me, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, but I have not been walking the Christian life. Maybe I did it one time, but I'm not anymore. Or maybe I just really ever haven't done that. But it's interesting what I hear you saying today, Pastor, about spiritual armor, and that there's hope for me. Those things that defeat me, those things that get me down, that God truly cares about me and he loves me, and he showed it by dying on the cross for me. I want to stop living for myself and I want to live for him. I want to give my life so that I can receive all that he has. But first, because he sees that I have value. He truly cares about me, and he did that. He did this for me because he wants me not to be separated from him. If you're here today and you need to make that decision, to ask Jesus to come into your heart, or maybe to come back to him today with every eye closed in this place. If there's anybody here today that would say, that's me, I need to make that decision. I need to get right with the Lord. Is there anybody here today? Just raise up a hand real high so I can see. Is anybody here today? Thank you, Lord. Anybody here today that needs to make that commitment to the Lord again? Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in this place today. God, I'm so thankful. So thankful that we can receive that which you have for us. God, your Holy Spirit that comes and speaks to us and does amazing things in our midst, in our own personal lives and transformation. God, you bring us from glory to glory. You take us out of that slimy pit, out of that mud and mire, and you set our feet on a rock. I thank you for that today. I thank you for what you're doing here, God. I thank you for each believer in this place, each follower of Christ, and each seeker, Lord, that's maybe not quite ready to make that decision today. I thank you that you're after them as well. And I thank you that you got good plans for every person in this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing today. Will you stand with me, warriors of God? Will you stand with me? Have you taken up the armor so that you can stand and continue to stand? Have you done that? I remember I was talking to a friend one time, and I was talking about, I'm putting on the holy armor every single day. And he asked me this question. He said, why do you ever take it off? That's a good question. I don't intentionally take it off, but sometimes we forget that we have it. Sometimes we forget that we have access to it. Sometimes we forget, we lose our perspective. We take that helmet off and we begin to see people because they hurt me, because they wrong me. That's the way that I see them. You know, sometimes we begin to burn with desires and passions and lust and temptations and all that kind of stuff because we forget that we have that shield of faith. Sometimes we feel like we're just bowled over by it in defeat. God, there's just so much happening and I just can't take it. And I'm just going to sit back and let it wash over me. And when it's done, then I'll get back up again. You know, we just forget that we even have that holy armor. We don't take it off, but we need to remind ourselves that we have it on. The devil all day long tries to speak lies to us, all day long, speaking negativity. We hear it from other people in the world as well. If it isn't the devil himself, it's someone else speaking it to us, right? We have to listen to negativity and look at how bad this is and look at how bad that is and look at all these different things, okay? We listen to that all day long. It can wear us down. We got to remind ourselves, we got the holy armor. We got the holy armor. We can stand against that stuff. Are you taking up the armor so you can stand? We are divinely instructed for divine appointments. And we put on spiritual armor to combat spiritual warfare. There's a battle for your soul going on right now. You don't see it, but it's happening right now. Sometimes we see it manifest when we're struggling with things, but it's happening right now. And we need to be aware of it, and we need to combat it with the energies of Christ. We need to grow strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. We can't do it on our own. We have to do it in him. So, it's my role to equip you. So today we're going to practice putting on the armor of God, okay? All right? So back to Ephesians 6 and verse 14. So stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Everybody put a belt of truth around their waist. If we all do it together, then nobody's embarrassed, right? Okay? Belt of truth. God, thank you for the belt of truth buckled around my waist. God, I just thank you that you wrap me in the teachings of truth. Help me to operate and live in the teachings of the truth. God, those things that you have shown me, those things that you have taught me, those things that I am learning each time I go to church or listen to a podcast or spend time with my brothers and sisters. God, help me to remember those things. Help me to wrap myself in that truth. All right. Breastplate of righteousness in place. Let's put the breastplate of righteousness in place. Right? Got it in place? Father, I thank you for the opportunity. I just thank you for the breastplate of righteousness, that it symbolizes that I have your righteousness in Christ. I have your righteousness. God, help me to remember that it's not about all the good things that I do or don't do. It's about your righteousness upon me so that I can stand against the enemy when he tries to show me all of my unrighteous acts, even my unrighteous thoughts. I have that breastplate of righteousness on, and it's in place so I can combat against him. Next one, feet fitted with a readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Let's put on our shoes today. There we go. God, I thank you for these shoes that I can stand in. God, the shoes of peace that represent what you did for me on that cross. You gave me your peace. Lord, you made peace between us and God through Jesus Christ. God, help me to stand in that. When those waves come and I forget that kind of stuff, help me to stand with those nails and those sandals down into the earth below me, that I would be able to stand in that. Help me to stand in it. Amen? What's the next one? Shield of faith. Take up that shield of faith. It's probably like this. It's probably not like this. It's probably more like this, because it's this big, long shield from top to bottom. Take up that shield of faith. God, thank you for the shield. Thank you, God, that you have shown me who it is that you are, and I can stand in you, Lord, and I can defend against all of those other things because I believe that you are greater. The one who is in me is greater than he that is in the world. And so I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that you give me the defense that I need. You are a shield around me. And so I just take those arrows and I take them out of my own self, out of my heart, and I put them in the shield here where they belong, and I defend against it, God, because I want what you want, Lord. You say in Psalm 73, the Psalm of Asaph, he said that you are my portion. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. This shield of faith reminds me of that. Help me to stand in that. All right? Helmet of salvation. Put a helmet of salvation on our heads. God, thank you for the perspective of knowing that I am saved in you. Lord, that no matter what comes my way, no matter what I mess up in doing, no matter how many mistakes I make, as I continue to come back to you, Lord, you give me that right perspective on my own life, that I am saved. You have summoned me by name. I am yours. I am redeemed. Thank you, Lord. And God, help me to see everybody else the same way, that you want to save them. You want them to come to a knowledge of the truth. You don't want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Helmet of salvation. And last one, sword of the Spirit. Who's got a sword? Sword of the Spirit, yes. God, I thank you for the sword of the Spirit, which is your word. God, thank you that it is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts to dividing soul from spirit, joints from marrow. Cut away anything in me that's not of you, God. Divide it and send it out, Lord. Thank you, God, for the sword of the Spirit. I demolish every pretense and every argument that sets itself up against the knowledge of you. And I take every thought captive and I make it obedient unto Christ. The sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this holy armor that you have given us. We thank you that it is not of us. It is only of you. And it is only by your Holy Spirit living in us that we can even wield these pieces of armor. We wouldn't even be able to wear them except that your Holy Spirit is in us. And so we recognize as believers, as followers of Christ, that we have all of the armor and we can pick it up, but we got to pick it up. God, help me to pick it up. Help me to continue to remind myself every day that I have this armor on. Help me to continue to put it on or to remind myself that it's on so that I can walk in victory in you and not be bowled over in defeat and just have to wait until the pangs of anxiety and whatever it may be just wash over me and go away on their own. Lord, I want to stand right now in it. I take out that arrow of anxiety and I stick it in that shield. It doesn't need to be there. I take out that arrow of fear and I stick it in the shield. Take out that arrow of regret and shame and I stick it in that shield in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Prayer activates each part of the armor of God. So, God, we thank you for that today. Help us today, God. Help us to continue to walk in your ways, Lord. Help us to get equipped so that we can be a part of equipping others, but so that we can stand that victorious life, that we won't ever hit a moment where we have to fall and not get back up again. But that we would be able to stand, and after having done everything to prepare to stand, that we would be able to stand on each day that comes our way. In Jesus' name, amen.